Ready for another quality podcast?
Okay, here we go.
All thanks to Endeavour Homes, builders of quality. And for premium inclusions you can afford, search the Foundation Series by Endeavour Homes. This is the Pete and Kimber podcast.
Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, welcome.
If you've come here for the princess, unfortunately the princess is in another castle. And by princess, I mean podcast. And by podcast, I mean Secret Lives of Perth and also our review live of the Taylor Swift album. You know what? I should have just said there's other podcasts.
Yeah, it feels like when you start our podcast, you might be here for a myriad of reasons, really, and then Pete just instantly drives you away from the second you arrive.
Legit, though, if you've come here for the Secret Lives of Perth, the anonymous caller who mentioned that her mother is a sex worker, and they found that out not long after the father-in-law passed away. And that's just the beginning of the story. That is on another podcast.
I'd be interested to see what people thought of it, actually, because there were a couple of texts coming in from people who hadn't heard the full story yet, thinking that it was inappropriate because they were saying this isn't her story to tell. But her mother-in-law.
That's true.
So it's her family.
Happened to her.
It happened to them.
We didn't get permission from Taylor Swift to discuss her new album.
You'll
find that on another podcast as well.
You threw us under the bus.
Me?
Well, I wasn't really to just start listening to her album, and then you asked me to review it, but I didn't hear enough of it.
But that's maybe they didn't hear enough of it. I was going to say throwing you in the deep end to review an album like that is the best way to do it. Because I don't want your premeditated thoughts on the album. You've had too much time.
Taylor Swift is known for her lyrics and everybody, that's why you can do a Taylor Swift degree. Because it's like the English literature of Taylor Swift and how important and poignant her lyrics are. And we never really heard enough of them. I just sort of heard soft tones.
I think you did a good job.
There's no real bangers in there, though, it sounded like.
Ooh,
no, but you know, like Shake It Off. Like, you know, like I mean like a kind of high energy sort of hit.
I know what you mean, yeah. Yeah, but this is very much a more like feels kind of album. Anyway, go and have a listen to the other podcast with a review.
But in this podcast, you can expect a series of things. We talk about Baby Reindeer, which is a new show on Netflix.
Mm.
There's some trigger warnings here because there's some themes in there that might be a bit full on. But it was a really interesting show.
Yeah.
I thought,
oh, you've got me hooked.
It's a true story, and it was really, really interesting.
Yeah, as were the phone calls that we had from people when we asked, "Have you had a stalker?" Those phone calls made me think, like feel all the different feels. Like my heart was genuinely thumping while we were listening to people tell their stories about having had a stalker.
It's unhinged. It's just like, get on with your life. If that person doesn't want to be with you anymore, get on with it. Move on. Leave them alone. I just can't understand that psychology of just...
You're talking to a brick wall though.
Yeah, I know. It's true. We also played the Wheel of Inappropriate Questions, which is fun, where we just answer whatever inappropriate question comes up. There were some inappropriate ones in there today.
Do you reckon that the one that I had to answer about worst co-host I've ever had is inappropriate? Do you reckon that's inappropriate?
Well, that's pretty hard to, you know, I would have been hard-pressed to go on and say a name live on air.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
I suppose.
You're still dobbing someone in, aren't you?
Yeah.
Would you save your pet over your partner in a house fire?
Yeah, we had some great stories off that, didn't we?
People that are, well, I guess this will break up relationships. Someone's relationship did break up. You'll hear from them. And also we played Yay or Nay, where we find out we all need to sleep naked.
Yep, 100%. There
together.
You go. Have a podcast.
Bye.
Let's go to Netflix, this show, Kimber, that everybody's talking about, Baby Reindeer.
Baby Reindeer. It's not a doco about a bunch of baby reindeers, which is part of the cute reason I initially went onto it.
Really?
I watched it a week ago and I didn't know any of the themes. I didn't know what it was about. I just thought it looked pretty good. Trigger warning, it does cover drug use, mental health, sexual assault, and it could be quite confronting. But that's kind of what makes it amazing. You know, this is what it is. The lead actor originally wrote this as a one-man show. He's a comedian named Richard Gadd. But the story is true. It's a story that happened in his life. He turned it into a one-man show, and now it's been turned into a 7-part Netflix special.
Wow.
Now, he endured this stalker for 4 years. a woman that he describes as Martha, and he uses her real life texts and emails throughout the show. So everything you see in there are things that he received from this person over the 4 years that she stalked him. And they, you know, there are parts of it, it comes across as really charming and quite endearing. Like, this is the first interaction they have when they meet.
So what do you do?
I'm a lawyer. Well, trained in criminal law. Moved to England, retrained, opened up my own practice, won several awards. Now a leading advisor to the government. God doesn't like a bragger, but when you're the go-to for the biggest political minds in the game, you've earned a brag or two.
So that actually happened to him?
Yeah. So
Let me guess. She's not a lawyer.
She's not a lawyer. But, you know, when I say 4 years of stalking, I mean properly, like, he received 41,071 emails, 350 hours of voicemail, 744 tweets, 46 Facebook messages, and 106 pages of letters.
So she's dedicated her life to getting in contact with him.
Well, what's amazing is it's a warts and all show. So he reveals why, in over a four-year period, how he played a role in it continuing.
Oh.
Because, you know, most of the time when you hear stories about stalkers, everyone kind of tells it as if they've done nothing wrong. It's always the other person, which is quite, you know, often the case.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
he actually mentions a lot and reveals in this how his own insecurities and declining mental health meant that he actually encouraged the stalking.
So, are you serious about me? Just be honest. I mean, I've overseen some of the biggest cases in the world. Hollywood, you name it. I can handle anything.
Yes, I'm serious about you.
Oh my God. Wait, as a friend, okay? As a friend.
Friends. With benefits.
Just friends.
With benefits. So were they sleeping together?
I can't reveal anything. I can't reveal in case you want to go and watch it, because that's part of what unfolds. So now the creator, what I thought was really interesting is he said when he saw shows or films about stalkers, and particularly female stalkers, they always made them out to be these sexy femme fatale type characters instead of seeing them as scary, dangerous people, which they are. And so he revealed his truth. This scene is at one of his comedy gigs, which Martha actually crashes.
Now let's do some prop stuff. All right.
Especially for you. I want to let you know what I was going through.
Thanks for that. Moving on.
I miss you.
I miss you too, random stranger.
I'm not a random stranger. I'm your ex. Don't be so cruel. Who's that girl you were talking about just then?
Okay, just to give you some context, ladies and gentlemen, this is Martha, my stalker. Say hello to Martha.
Don't you dare say that to me! I'm a paying customer! How dare you insinuate mixed intentions! You apologise to me right now!
Oh, and the whatever, like, whistle or whatever they've got playing underneath that scene just sent shivers up my spine.
It gets dark, but yeah, that's Baby Reindeer currently on Netflix. It's had an astounding amount of views. It's had 2.6 million views in the first 6 days of it being seen.
Unbelievable.
So, you can check that out. Going to issue a bit of a trigger warning here because we're going to be talking about some serious topics that cover, you know, drug use, mental health, assault, that kind of thing. Because we're talking about the show Baby Reindeer that's on Netflix at the moment, which is the real life story of the main actor. He's put the show together because he was actually stalked in real life. So I'm going to put it out there. Have you ever been stalked?
This piece of audio from the show about her crashing his comedy gig is just stunning. Take a listen to this.
Now let's do some prop stuff. All right.
Especially for you. I want to let you know what I was going through.
Thanks for that. Moving on.
I miss you.
I miss you too, random stranger.
I'm not a random stranger. I'm your ex. Don't be so cruel. Who's that girl you were talking about just then?
Just to give you some context, ladies and gentlemen, this is Martha, my stalker. Say hello to Martha.
Don't you dare say that to me! I'm a paying customer! How dare you insinuate mixed intentions! You apologise to me right now!
So So this guy, Richard Gadd, who's created this show, in real life, his Martha, or his woman who was stalking him, sent 41,071 emails, 350 hours of voicemail, 744 tweets, 46 Facebook messages, 106 pages of letters. And but it went on over a four-year period.
The fact that this show is based on his actual account of events that happened, like that bit of audio that you just heard then, just makes me feel sick in my stomach.
Oh, I don't know how he doesn't have PTSD just from putting the show together and acting in it.
Because
I remember years ago, I had a stalker here when I worked here, and that got a bit out of hand.
So what happened there? I mean, you were telling me off the air that we even got to the stage where you needed security, like the station organised security to get you from your home to here.
Yeah. I don't know who the person was, and they kept coming into the reception area asking to see me or pretending they had a meeting booked to see me and that they had a time booked. And the receptionist staff were just going, no, she doesn't book meetings with people here. That's not possible. And he kept pushing and pushing. He'd come back multiple times. And it got to the point where they would call me and say, don't come to work yet because he's here and he won't leave because he's waiting for you. And so I couldn't come to the building. And then it got to the point where he came and frequented so much and was being so strange that they actually, that management arranged for security to follow me from home each day and drive me home every day so that this person wasn't around.
How long did this go on for?
Probably 2 months.
2 months.
Or so. And then like, we had the police involved. We had all the CCTV footage so I could see if I could recognise him. Like,
and then did he just disappear?
Yeah.
That's got to be the worst part, that they've just disappeared.
I mean, thank goodness. Because I guess they've gone away, but it means they obviously found somebody else.
Sorry you had to go through that. That
sucked. Oh, it's just a strange thing. Because you don't know what... I guess in radio too, you know, we have public profiles. We've put ourselves into a position where people feel like they might know us, that they feel like they are, you know, we're close to them. And so sometimes that blurs the lines of what kind of relationship you have with them, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a scary thing. And you hear of people's lives being ruined by it. You hear of all these celebrities that go, they often have to deal with those people that are just rocking up to their houses or following them around. It's a very difficult way to live your life.
But as we're learning on this show, because we're just opening this show up to people's honest stories that are happening to them, just everyday accounts from people that live in Perth, it's happening to them too, not just celebs.
I remember it changed. Like, I was in a play at the time and I had to drop out of the show. I was still performing and I had to drop out of it because then that person would know where I was performing every night and I didn't want them to know my movements. So I stopped acting because I didn't want to be a part of it.
It'd be horrendous having to live your life like that.
Yeah, it was
horrendous.
Terrible. Lisa, you've gone through this.
Hello, how you going?
No, good.
Lisa, what happened to you?
So this is over 20 years ago, but I was early 20s, started dating someone. We dated for a couple of months and then he said, look, I think you're looking for something serious and I'm not. So ended it. And I was like, yep, cool, no problem. And then he started stalking me. So he would turn up at my work. He would turn up at my house. He broke into my house. He knew where my spare key was, threatened my flatmate, threatened ex-boyfriends that I'd, you know, dated a very long time ago. Yeah.
Wow. And what was he trying to get out of it? Was he saying he wanted to get back together or like what was he demanding of you?
Yeah. So he said I should have read between the lines and he wanted us to be together.
What the hell does that mean? Should have read between the lines.
Lisa, did you get to the point where you were reporting this? I mean, if he's breaking into your house.
Yes, I did. So I kept a paper diary back in the day and I had documented everything. So I went to the police and they were amazing. This was in New South Wales and I got an ADO out on him.
Wow.
You said this is in New South Wales. Are you here in Perth because of that?
I'm not, no. We just moved here a few years ago, no. Yeah,
well, okay. But he took that seriously then when he was given the restraining order?
So, yeah, great question. He actually didn't. He continued to stalk me and he would turn up at my house at 3 a.m. And I'd call the police. And he would say things like, oh, I'm here to see her about her drug problem, which I didn't have a drug problem. Like, he would just make things up. So he actually continued to stalk me. I met my husband a little while later. We've been married for 16 years, 2 kids, very happy. And he saw him, so my stalker, and he went over. So he goes, just hang on, stay here. And he went and said something to him I'll never know what he said. I didn't ask. I didn't want to know, but he never bothered me again.
Wow. Just like that. Oh, I'm sorry I had to go through that, Lisa. That's terrible.
Olivia in Singleton, you were stalked as well.
I wasn't. It was actually my partner. So he's 35 now, but when he was 19, he did a bit of bartending at a bar that was, well, a pub that was attached to a bottle shop. And there was a lady that had come in one day and she looked a bit lonely. So he did his customer service thing, as you would, make her feel welcome to the place. And I think she took that as a bit of flirting, but he was merely just doing his job. And what had happened, she'd come in every day for an hour. I'm not sure how long it happened for, but it happened for a while. She'd just keep chatting 1 to 2 hours every day with him. And until one day she ended up cornering him in a cool room, and that made him super uncomfortable that he ended up barring her from that pub.
Wow. And it's tough if they come to your workplace, isn't it? Because when you're at work, you're stuck there and you can't get away and you're trying to be polite and you're trying to do the right thing and you don't think it's going to turn into anything serious.
Was that the end of it, Olivia?
It definitely was. But yeah, he would just feel so uncomfortable every single time she came in. She was a lot older and she was being quite flirtatious, but he was super young and didn't want anything to do with it. And yeah, she cornered him that one time. And
you know, I think on a real generalising level as well, that when it's men stalking women, it seems it's a lot scarier because there's also a physical threat there that seems different. I think when women are the stalkers, they don't seem as dangerous.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that men might just be like, oh, okay, well, we'll just, this will probably go away because they don't feel as physically threatened.
Yeah, that's the perspective on it generally. Hey, we've got Jenny in Maylands here, fake name, but she's asked to have her voice disguised, so she's got to change a couple of things. And just before we get on with the story, just Jenny, just say hello for us, please.
Hello?
Oh, there you go.
Okay, your voice is being disguised. Go ahead, Jenny. Thanks for your call. Have you had a stalker?
I have. It was actually my ex-partner. We were together for a few years. He ended up asking for, like, my YouTube account, which was connected to my Google account. Through that, he could actually get my location, go through my iCloud. He could look through my contacts and everything. So he'd always message me and be like, where are you? And I'd say, oh, you know, I'm at my mum's or whatever, because I didn't want to be around him. And he's like, no, you're not, and would go off at me and always know where I was. So I didn't exactly know how he was tracking where I was at the point until the police were involved.
And how did you find out you were being tracked?
So basically the police, once I reported everything, went through ways that they can stalk you, track you, told me to look for certain apps and stuff like that.
Yep.
And yeah, it came out that his phone was linked to my Google account and you could see my location at all times.
So what happened from there, Jenny, after you got the police involved?
So I put an order on him. He would come to my workplace, walk past my window so I could see him. He would constantly prank call my work phone so my boss was aware of what was going on. And in the end, he had to just answer the phone because I couldn't do it. Then it got worse. He started to come to my house. Even when the order was on, he would break into my house, hid in my cupboard one time, and it got really abusive.
Hid in your cupboard?
Yeah.
This stuff's terrifying.
It might be a bit of a trigger warning to everyone because he physically assaulted me, tried to strangle me. Police were involved again.
How long did this take to get actually out of your life, Jenny?
Oh, it's still going.
It's still going.
Oh, no.
Oh, Jenny, I'm so sorry.
But he's gone to the point where he would get into my yard, get his phone light and put it through my kids' blinds to scare them.
Oh, there's kids involved as well.
There is.
Oh, my God. Oh,
Jenny, I'm so sorry. That is just awful.
Are the kids with him?
Not all of my children, no, but I do have children for him. Yeah.
So how long has this been going on in general, Jenny?
A few years, but we have been separated now 2 years.
Man, a few years. I mean, really? And is there nothing the police can't do?
Well, they've breached him. He's gone to jail. He's been on home detention. And my order ran out. And the same day that my order ran out, I started getting calls again.
Oh, my God.
So I've recently got another order on him.
That's so scary.
Makes you feel sick.
Thanks for your call, Jenny. That's awful. And I'd say, too, that if you need help or if this has been difficult for you, then 13 11 14 is the lifeline number, or reach out to Relationships Australia if you need any other assistance. I'm sad to hear how many people have been stalked.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just such a disgusting form of torture.
Our phones have been ringing off the hook this morning. Rachel, thank you very much for joining us. Have you had a stalker?
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
So I dated a guy for about 6 months, and then he continued to stalk me for 12 months after we broke up.
Ugh.
He did all sorts of things to me. One time when I was at the gym, he rang me for about 65 times while I was at the gym.
God.
He started contacting all my family and friends. He would drop past my house at any opportunity to leave me things at the front door. He would start messaging me saying, "I saw you here," or "I saw you there." And then once I did finally block him, he started sending me messages on my bank transactions. So he would send me 1 cent and use the description field to send me a message just to get in contact.
Wow.
God.
I didn't realize that until a couple of months later when I saw the bank statements. He did also break into my house one time when my kids were home. And that was what led me to go to the police. But it was about 12 months later when I got the VRO. And to be honest, I had like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of text messages that he had sent me.
And, you know, it's really tough too, because even though it takes courage to go to the police, and I think sometimes they do these really kind of what seems to be innocuous things so that you feel like you haven't got anything to really report.
Mm.
And it added up, all things together, they're awful things. But, you know, you feel like, oh, if I tell the police he's doing this, it just doesn't seem legit or like it's a big enough deal.
To sit there and send 1 cent to your bank account.
Just as a way to get through. Oh
mate.
It's gross.
Patricia, hi. Have you had a stalker?
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Hey, so I did not know what stalking was. Well, obviously I knew, but I didn't actually think it was a thing. And I was in a lathering company, and my boss started making advances to me. Like, he would get like quite flirty and quite chatty at work events, and would like, "Babe, this, sweetheart, this, you're amazing, blah blah blah." And then he decided to stalk me at my child's school.
Whoa! And this was your boss?
Yeah.
So what did you see? Did you see him in the car park, or did he walk into the school and he had no business being there?
He had no business being there. Took photos at my child's event.
Oh, God.
Did you take this beyond that boss? Was there someone higher in the company, or did you just go, "I have to get out of this place"?
I resigned because I brought it up to HR and they said it's his word against my word. And because he was quite high up in the company, management just turned the other way. They're like, "Oh, it's, you know, not a thing. It's your word against his word." And I found out that later, after I like got out, because I was like, "No, thank you. You've crossed the line. You've come near my child. Like, don't want to. I don't want that happening. I don't want you in my life." Blocked his number. Blocked him on everything. I found out that it's a thing he does.
Oh, wow.
It's not the first time he does. He's not the first time he's done it.
Oh, see, that's awful. That's dreadful.
Yeah, it's really creepy.
That's how it all ended, hey?
Yeah, I just was like, "Nah, you can have your job. I don't want it."
But it did end when you left work?
Yeah, because I blocked him on everything. So I just went, "I don't want any contact. Like, don't contact me ever again."
And it's a sad thing. It sounds like they just move on to someone else. Don't they? It's like, found another person to stalk now.
Grace in Butler, thanks for calling us this morning. Tell us about the time you had a stalker.
Hi. Well, I would say, also, just basically, there are red flags that I didn't realise were red flags.
Mm.
And I didn't think I could go to the police because things were relatively innocuous. But it was a sort of a third degree friendship person, friends with benefits, that I ended. But obviously they weren't happy with that. But do things like, I would have gone on a date and get into my car, be about to start the engine, and you'd open the door and just be there.
Whoa.
Very, yeah.
Oh, it's got chills.
turn up to my house, and then within 2 minutes he would turn up banging on the door. I was like, and he'd say things like, oh, he just wanted to pick something up. But it was happening frequent, like multiple times.
Too frequent, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I was lucky to fortunately have friends with me at various times, so there was that, nothing happened then. It did end up ending terribly, and he went to jail for a period of time. But I didn't realise that I could have gone to the police before, because I thought it would just be silly and it wasn't anything. But this behaviour is often a precursor to
something
worse. More sinister. So,
you know, they talk about that, Grace, in this show, Baby Reindeer. They call it the dripping tap, where they say it's the type of abuse or type of stalking where it's like, it's just little bits over time. And so it's just, you don't feel like it's a big deal. It's a big deal, but it's because it's constant drips. They just do little bits and pieces until a long period of time has passed and then you realise you're really deep in it.
Mm.
Yeah, amazing.
Thanks, Grace. And thanks to everybody who called our show this morning. Thanks for trusting us with your stories. We appreciate it.
If you need any help too, you can reach out to Lifeline 13 11 14 or Relationships Australia.
Pete and Kimber's Yay or Nay.
Hello, producer Rami.
If only there was a live stream in this studio right
now. Thank goodness there's not.
Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
Yes, yay or nay. I've got three topics for you. You've got 3 seconds to answer each one. Are you ready?
Yes.
First one, sleeping in the nude.
Oh, hang on. Sorry, I was slow on that one.
3, 2, 1.
Yay.
Nay.
Yay, Pete. So you do sleep in the nude.
Only when I am off on a junket or like staying somewhere else and I'm by myself, or it's me and Liz. If the kids are around or I'm at home, no.
Yeah. Kimber, why are you an A?
Because I'm thinking there could be a house fire. At any time, any woman who has lived on her own at any point will feel the same, I'm sure. It's like you don't want to be naked because if there's a house fire or someone burgles your house in the middle of the night and you've got to get out and run,
yeah.
I don't want to be burdened with the extra issue of being naked at the time.
That's very practical. Well, look. People have come out, specialists have come out and said there's actually a lot of health benefits to sleeping in the nude, which I had no idea was a thing. So apparently it helps reduce stress, it's better for your skin, reproductive health, and just overall better sleep quality, apparently.
And here I am stressing over a house fire.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe thinking about whole other issues.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
I love it. It's so good. Feels so good.
Get the girls out tonight. Is that what they say? Next one.
Sure. It is now.
Next one. Some gyms can be a little bit culty.
3, 2, 1.
Yay.
Yay.
All gyms.
When's the last time you went to a gym?
I'm still in one, mate. If you've ever been in a gym, you're still in it for life. You can't cancel a gym membership.
Pickle.
If you ever want to, no, you're done. If you're in a gym, if you ever entered a gym,
you've locked in for life.
You're part of the gym.
It's so funny that you mentioned that, because I just recently tried to quit my gym, and we've got all the technology in the world.
They make it hard.
And they can follow me up on text, on email, and stuff like that if I miss a payment or whatnot. Yeah. But I'm not allowed to quit unless I go in and sit face to face with someone.
Oh,
it's ridiculous.
Mate, you're never missing a payment. If they can't get a payment out of your account, they'll take it from your kid's piggy bank.
Yeah,
Don't worry, they're coming for you.
Yeah. I just love how they say, like, it's so passive aggressive how they say in the email, oh, we may have to send a debt collection agency.
Yeah.
It's like, mate, it's just a couple of hours past you. Are you right or what?
Oh, do not push us. Back off. And final one, binge watching shows.
3, 2, 1.
Yay.
A little caveat here. Binge watching as in like in one day.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
I've never done it before until yesterday.
You know, they actually say that if you watch a bunch of episodes of something back to back, you're less likely to remember it.
I've heard it. Yeah.
Your brain actually doesn't retain it. So you could watch 7 episodes of something and it doesn't really register after 2.
Oh, well, this one I remember.
What did you do?
Baby Reindeer. So, Kimber, you mentioned it vaguely to me on Friday before we left for the weekend.
Yeah.
And so I binge watched the 7-part show, Baby Reindeer, on Netflix yesterday. And it is
next level.
It's not the kind of show you want to watch back to back, because I needed a coffee and a shower and a cigarette and like a million things.
And a cigarette.
It's
well.
Pretty intense. Right? It's a really interesting show. A lot of people are talking about it.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, get the menthols ready. It's on the way.
Who doesn't enjoy a good hypothetical question?
Oh, I love a hypothetical.
Well, you know, lots of people, and particularly in relationships, you might create a hypothetical situation. You might, like, you know, James and I will joke and go, if there's a zombie apocalypse, who's going to follow who.
Oh, what is the answer right? to that, by the way?
I think I'm going to follow James.
You reckon?
I think he hasn't seen many of the apocalypse shows like I have, so I think I'm pretty solid for a double tap. Mm. Like, I think I can take down a zombie, but I think he'll make really good choices in how to get us out and about.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, you come up with these hypothetical situations, you discuss them with your partner, you have a bit of a laugh. Except I saw this one online that is basically meaning that this guy's fiancé wants to call off their wedding.
Oh, wow. What's the hypothetical here?
They had a hypothetical conversation about if there were a house fire.
great start.
You know, if there was something like a house fire and he had to go in and rescue them, who would he rescue first? Now, she said it's her. She's in the fire.
Mm.
His niece is in the fire mm. and her dogs, because he's got this 3-year-old niece that he absolutely adores.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, best mates with her. And she said, who would you save? Now, he said, I'd do my best to save both of you, you and the niece. And I'd put my life at risk to save you. And she said, well, what about the dogs? And he said, well, you know, I'm going to try to save them, but obviously I'm going to go for you guys first.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
She got mad and said, that's unacceptable. also really upset that he's putting his niece before her dogs.
No.
And
she tapped or what?
No, she said that if he understood how much her dogs mean to her and that if he really loves her and values her, he would have done the right thing. And he is not saving the dogs. She even said she would like the dogs saved before her.
Oh, get out.
And now,
joking.
Now their relationship is on the rocks, because she said, I'm not sure I want to marry you.
Really?
Now that I know how you stand on these issues. This hypothetical could break them up.
I am blown away by that.
I mean, it. Like, would you rescue a pet over a partner?
Absolutely
I
not.
I love McGruff, and I get that he's helpless as well. So I'd like to think, hopefully, James, who I'm following in the apocalypse,
yeah.
could manage to get himself out of a fire.
Yep.
But, I mean, if you're putting dogs before children.
I think there's something wrong with you. Something very, very wrong with you.
I mean, some people will outright say, yes, I'm choosing my dog. Are you kidding me? Like, there are people who right now their dog is in their bed with them and they're like, yeah, I'm choosing you, bud. Don't tell anyone, but I'm choosing you. But we do want you to tell us. Would you save your pet over your partner?
Yeah, I'd love to hear from those people this morning, because I'd be very hard-pressed to find someone that's doing that.
Yeah, but we want someone real passionate. If you're the person who's like, yeah, you know what? I reckon I could find another partner.
Yeah, okay.
Plenty of fish in the sea.
All right. Where are you? I would love to hear from you.
Donna in Yanchep, would you save a pet over your partner if you were rescuing them from a fire?
God, yeah.
Oh, you would?
Kids, dog, then the husband. Oh, if he's still alive.
What's your rationale, Donna? Why the husband last?
Because he is old enough to get himself out. I mean, seriously. Crawl.
I can just see, Donna, I could just see that on his tombstone. Right? Just he was old enough to get himself out.
Yeah, or so she thought.
And didn't.
Thanks, Donna.
Okay. Jared in Sorrento. This conversation we've been hearing between this couple, this happened to you, Jared.
Yeah, so this topic came up one night and obviously, I thought I'd save my partner over her, but she obviously had a different idea, and she said her pet over me.
Oh, okay, so Jared, when she said I'm choosing the pet first, what did that cause problems for your relationship up front?
Yeah, well, I thought she was joking at first, but she said she was being serious, and honestly, I kind of distanced myself after that, and we broke up about a month later after that.
Oh, wow.
Jared, was it a dog? What kind of pet was she saving?
A golden retriever.
Golden retriever. Oh, they are beautiful though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he said that as if like, you can get heaps of them.
Yeah, they are everywhere.
Now, let us get down to business.
Wheel of Inappropriate Questions.
Oh, look, the wheel's here, Kimber.
I preferred it when it was a chocolate wheel.
Yeah.
And you'd spin it and land on a lovely chocolatey treat.
Mm-hmm.
and you could enjoy that instead.
Instead, we're revealing our honest thoughts about whatever questions are behind those numbers.
Well, it's a wheel of inappropriate questions. It's full of inappropriate things. Would you like me to spin on your behalf, Pete?
Yeah, go for it. Go on. I'll have a go.
I do give it too much.
It's a good spin. No, I think you've always got to give it a little bit of herbs.
Number six.
On the first one. Number six. What is it?
Pete, what did you get kicked out of a nightclub for?
I'm just trying to think back. I've never been kicked out of a nightclub.
Really? Even with all your woggy mates?
No, legit.
None of you just got kicked out for the pants you were wearing?
No, what pants? What are you talking about,
pants
you were wearing? We didn't wear. That was just past when I started clubbing, I think.
Oh.
Snap pants. Oh. We were black jeans and big thick black shoes and tight black shirts, like particularly the Bonds t-shirts and gold chains. That's
and
what we
still
were.
Never kicked out.
No, nah, never kicked out. Yeah. Oh. That's because we went to Metros in Fremantle. We were welcome
there. They didn't kick anyone out.
No, we were welcome.
Back in the day, they never even checked ID.
Yeah. Actually, that's a great point. Now, I think these days there's like fingerprint scanners and all sorts of stuff.
It's too much. Mm. Am I going now?
Yeah, you're going. Sorry, I wish there was something more interesting in that one, but I was the good boy. Also
I like
works
that.
In the
Don't
club
go changing.
Scene.
You can't change who you are.
That's true.
Question number one.
All right, is this for you? This is for you, question number one. Here, give it to me. Give me. You don't have to read your own one, especially when you have a reaction like that. Oh, I'm interested in this. Where's the weirdest place you've done your taxes? Now, people who aren't familiar with the Pete and Kimber show, first, welcome. It's great to have you here. Second, done your taxes is a bit of adult time. That's what we call it on the Pete and Kimber show.
Where is
the weirdest place?
Well,
weirdest
what you think
place.
Is weird.
Yeah, I suppose that's true, isn't it? There wouldn't be many, right?
Let's say Kings Park.
That's not weird.
Okay.
That's not weird. Give me weirder. Have you got weirder?
Weirder than place? Kings Park.
Okay, well, for example, do you remember the old Midland Military Market?
Yes, yeah. Only because it's where your family had their fish shop.
Yeah, well, I did it once in the cool room.
Wow.
The family fish business cool room.
Wow.
Right, so I think that's a level of weird.
Yeah.
Kings Park, there's plenty of places to do
it. Did you ever consider
letting
anyone else into the cool room?
That's mean and also a very good line. weirder than Kings Park?
Not really.
I don't think Kings Park's weird. I think if you got 10 people in a lineup, 9 out of 10 of them would be, yeah, I've done it in Kings Park somewhere. Carrot.
Well, good on them.
Kings Park?
Very
no,
Perth.
No, I haven't.
Rami?
No, I did it in your fish shop.
I remember. Rami, get out of the ice
pit. I've
lived
out of home since I was 17. I've always been a grown up. I've had plenty of places to do it.
Okay.
I haven't had to get it in at the Midland Military Fish Market before Mum and Dad rock up.
Oh no, Mum and Dad were there at the time. Just didn't know what was going on. Give it another spin. Go on. Let's do a couple.
For me or for you?
Nah, for me.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you something a little bit more interesting. Right. Then sorry, I never got kicked out.
Okay. Who's the worst co-host you've ever had?
Oh, God.
You don't want to say names because the industry is so small.
The industry
and they end up becoming your boss.
So small.
Or like you end up working for them or something.
I'll tell you, right? And I can safely say this name because I reckon that at the time, and I'll give it context. At the time, if you were to ask her the same thing, she'd probably say me as well.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So it's personal.
Bigsy. Oh,
I don't know who that
right?
is.
So I was a girl who used to do the National Hot 30
yep.
right, on this network with Tim Lee, and we did a breakfast show in Canberra together,
mm-hmm.
and we were bad for each other.
Really?
Yeah, we were just bad for each other. Carla Bignasca. And she's, like, we're friends these days, but back then, like, I was just starting out and I was terrible. She was way better than I was and I think was frustrated with how bad I was at the job.
Ah.
And so, but she didn't take it very well and we just clashed and it was just bad.
And I bet no one knew. See, this is the thing with radio. All over the country, there are people pretending to be friends.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And you'll never really know who's legit and who's not.
It could even be us.
It could be.
It could be us. Yeah.
The Foundation Series from Endeavour Homes is the affordable alternative with premium inclusions. Endeavour Homes, builders of quality.